Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by a coworker of mine, Tiago.
Hello everyone. Hashi isn't here today, so I'm covering for him. We share the same office, so I pick up stuff from him via osmosis anyway.
Just the other half of Hashi. And today our special guest probably looks familiar. He's a veteran of Cloud Cover, Steven Siciliano. Steven, would you like to say hi and introduce yourself just for people that don't know you?
Sure. So I'm Steven Siciliano. I'm a PM on the Azure team. And recently, I've been working on Power Apps, which I think I'll show off today, and that'd be pretty cool.
Awesome. Ooh. This is a really exciting thing. This was announced just a couple weeks back. We're really excited to hear more about it. I haven't had a chance to really play with it, so I'm super excited to see how it works and what we can do with it.
Yeah.
So we're going to skip the news today and just go right into your presentation.
Awesome. Thanks. So Power Apps is a super easy way for innovators anywhere to create applications. So this can be applications that span from mobile to tablet. So it's really powerful. Plus, it allows you to build logic that runs in the cloud that backs your applications.
So it sounds like this is an easy way for me to, you know, maybe make an application that will run on my mobile device, but is powered by resources in the cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that's where the Azure component comes in. So Power Apps is powered by Azure App Service, which runs up in Azure, and it has all the capabilities for you to connect to APIs, to connect to resources that, you know, serve up all of the data that you need for your application.
Great.
So where does Power Apps sit inside Microsoft from a products perspective?
Sure. So the team that's been working on it is very similar to the team that works on Power BI.
Right.
So we're in the kind of the cloud and enterprise division in Microsoft. And we've been working very closely with Azure because it's powered by all the Azure services on the back end.
Cool.
Great. Okay.
So so what I'm going to show off here is creating a Power App for the very first time. So you can come to powerapps.com right now and request an invitation. It isn't quite completely open yet. That'll be soon. But you can come in and you can request an invite. And I've already done that, obviously, because I've been playing with it for a while. So I've gone ahead and downloaded it to my PC. And you can there's actually downloads for iOS for both the iPad and the iPhone, as well as for Windows, so you can get on any of those platforms.
So, and this is the app generation application right here?
Yeah, so it's the same app that both generates new apps and uses existing ones.
Okay.
So it's just basically one package to download, and then you can use it, and we can actually, you can even generate basic apps on your iPhone if you wanted.
Okay.
So it's kind of the same capability everywhere.
So I feel like you're going to get into this, but like, let's say I use this and I create an application. Does this Power Apps app what I use to run that app?
Exactly. So basically, in the taskbar, there'll always just be, you know, one icon, I guess, to show up. So it's one kind of app that runs. But inside of it, I have all of the applications. In this case, like once this loads, all of these are the applications that people have shared with me or built inside my organization. So I can click on this and I can open it up, and then it runs inside of this, you know, Power Apps kind of environment.
So it sounds like that because of this approach, this would make it really trivial and easy to, you know, share applications between people, and then, you know, you don't have to deal with that install, uninstall, update process that you would have to do if it was a standalone application.
That's exactly right. So sharing is super easy. So I can, if I want to share with you, for example, I can take an app, I can click the share icon, and I can send it to you, and then you don't have to download something new from the App Store or from the Windows Store. It'll just show up in your Power Apps running, and then you can just start it right away.
Okay. Great.
Is there also a web-based version of the creation of the app?
So not yet. So today, the web experience just allows you to kind of browse, and you can also create logic, which I'll get to in a little bit, in the web. But today, you can't quite create applications in the web experience.
Right.
All right. Let's get back to actually you creating an app now.
Sure,
Kind of derailed you a bit.
Yeah, that's fine. So when I come to new, there's a few different ways that you can start a new application. You can start from templates, which basically show off, here I can show you the templates actually. They show off, you know, different sample types of applications. So for example, if you want event signup. So event signup, super common where you have conferences and you want people to, you know, staff a booth, for example, at a conference. This is an application, it's prepackaged, it's pre-built, that shows you how we were able to build that exact scenario using a Power App. Or, you know, you could do service desk, or survey is another very popular one, where you just want to have a little survey application that asks, you know, how's cloud cover doing? And then you can share it, and hopefully it'll be lots of green.
The answer would be awesome, right?
Yes, exactly. Only awesome. So yeah, so those are templates. So that's one great way to start. Another good way to start is by connecting to data. So one of the really powerful things about Power Apps is that they can connect to data sources in the cloud. So that's through that Azure App Service that I was talking about. And by connecting to data sources, it can actually pull in information from a wide variety of sources. So here I can show you, for example, we have connectivity to Dynamics CRM and to Salesforce. So we're not draconian about only connecting to Microsoft technologies.
Sure.
Basically, we want to connect to whatever people have data in. So if you have Salesforce, we'll connect to Salesforce. And likewise, we can connect to SQL, to SharePoint, and even Google Drive, OneDrive, Dropbox, all of these different services we can connect to. And if you have data there, we can create an application for it.
Great. Is this also related to what the Azure apps support as well as data sources? App service?
Yes, exactly. So the technology that powers this is the exact same technology that powers app service.
Cool.
Right now, there are a few few that don't show up in both places quite yet, but that'll be fixed within a couple months.
Cool.
And it sounds like this is, you know, a good mix of stuff that, you know, are resources that are in Azure, are just other Microsoft services, and then are services provided by tons of other SaaS providers out there.
Yep, exactly. And then this list will continue to grow as we build more connectivity over the coming months. So what I'm going to do, though, is I have a SharePoint list that I'm going to create an app for. And when I do that, I have to get first the URL for the SharePoint list. So I'm going to switch over to, and here's that SharePoint that I use. It's just the Power Apps SharePoint. It's our team SharePoint. I can paste that in. And when I click Connect, it's going to go to the SharePoint list, and it's going to give me a list of the lists in the SharePoint. So for example here, I can click on car list. This is just the SharePoint list that's running on our team SharePoint. And when I click connect, it's actually going to build me a tailor-made application that generates rich screens for my SharePoint list.
Okay.
So with this, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried to open a SharePoint site on your phone before. It probably hasn't worked out if you've tried it, because the SharePoint UI isn't super optimized for mobile devices.
Not yet anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that they're definitely working on that. But what's great about the Power App is it creates tailor-made screens that are designed for mobile. So that way you can get a view that's exactly what you need on your mobile device.
That would actually be really great, because, you know, I have experienced that before, where you go to enter something in your mobile and, you know, you've got, like, you know, some of those lists can be pretty detailed, and that's a lot to enter, and it's quite complicated, and it doesn't really look good, doesn't perform well. Mm-hmm. So if you could wrap this into something that looks like an actual, you know, a good entry form on a mobile device, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So once this loads up, you're going to see on the left side, there's going to be a few different screens. So just like PowerPoint has slides on the left here, and Word has pages, here we have screens. So each screen kind of is a certain view of the app. And for the Connect to Data applications, there's three screens. The first is the browse. So what this is this is, you know, giving you a list view that has all of the different items in the SharePoint list. The second is a detail screen, which is when you click on that, it'll show you the details of that particular item. And then the third is the edit screen. And you can use this both to add new items to the list and to edit an existing item.
Okay.
So I can actually run this right now, and it will boot up. And so here's that app running, and you know, a lot of things are wired up already. So if I do search, you know, right now it's already wired up, so it filters the items that I have in the SharePoint list, and I can clear that out. I can click next, and it will show me the details of this particular item. So that shows up. And then, of course, I can click new to create a new item, or I can click edit to edit an existing item. that will show me that edit screen that I was talking about with all the fields pre-populated, and I can just, you know, click yes to commit the change or no to decline the change.
So I've got two questions for you. With these forms for the edit and the creation, is there any sort of capability in there to say, you know, for example, here we've got two dates. Is there a way where you can specify, hey, when the person taps on here, we should open up like a date selector as opposed to just freeform text?
Sure, absolutely. So we have a bunch of different rich controls that you can use. It so happens we don't have a tailor-made date selector today. That is something that would make a lot of sense. But if I click on this item here, if I go to content, you'll actually be able to see the controls that this particular item uses. So when I click on this here, so you can see it can be a text box, it can be a URL, it can be toggles. I can, you know, edit currency or numbers or sliders. There is date time, so if I switch it to date time, it'll still be a text box for the time being, but it does add some validation rules
to make sure
that it's actually a real date.
That's great, because I've got to tell you, you know, one of the biggest pet peeves I've got is going to a website using a mobile application, anything like that on a mobile device where it doesn't have the intelligence around, like, this field clearly wants a number, but it just opens the text keyboard.
Yes.
Or, you know, this one is an email address, but it doesn't have the keyboard with the, you know, the at symbol on it. Like, that's just it. It's such a small thing, but it makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over time, it gets, you know, having to do it every time.
Right.
It gets annoying.
And so my next question goes into behind the scenes here. Is this essentially creating HTML and CSS for these forms that does that?
So Power Apps is based on Cordova.
Okay.
It's Apache open source technology, and that does use HTML5 and JavaScript in the back end. And what's good about that means it's cross-platform and can run pretty much anywhere.
Yes.
So it's a really powerful technology.
And I think that there was, as Tiago mentioned earlier, you know, about the web portal. I think that means that it's certainly pretty feasible and expected that, you know, making it work in the, you know, in an actual website shouldn't be too terrible.
That's a very reasonable statement to make.
And one question I had was on the data sources. Mm-hmm. Do you also support, or will you support, OData feeds or a custom data source, or is it just the ones that you have listed?
Yes and no. So actually, why don't I could dive into that real quick.
Okay.
So just as there's an experience here in the app for this is kind of about what the business user will experience. The end user will be able to do this. IT can manage the back end of the service, so they can set up different data sources for the organization. So when you do that, you do it inside the Azure portal here. So this is the Azure portal, and we actually have a Power Apps management experience for the IT guy to be able to come and manage what the organization is doing. And you can see here, for example, this is the actual Microsoft Power Apps subscription. You see we already have something like 2,000 applications people across Microsoft have created, so that's pretty awesome. But here, these are all the different data sources that I was showing you earlier.
Yep.
And in addition to some, this is a little confusing because it says Microsoft Managed or Microsoft. Microsoft Managed means basically it's running such that every IT department doesn't have to manage it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we host a bunch of different APIs like Dropbox, Dynamics, all of these, so that way the individual company doesn't have to.
Yep.
But in addition, your own IT department can come and connect to an API that already exists, like an existing OData feed.
Yep.
And when they do that, it'll show up here as another available API. So here, for example, you can see, you know, we have a whole bunch of different IT managed APIs. These are interesting. The MSIT team inside Microsoft has actually published a bunch of different data sources to build applications, such as, you know, information about the organization, or absence reporting, or interview candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So they've actually published all these APIs, so that way we can go and build applications for our organization. And if you worked at a different company, obviously they would be different APIs, because every company has its own, you know, candidate feedback or absence reporting system.
And who people that see these data feeds to be able to create an app for it that's based on the organization that they work in?
Yes, that's exactly right. Mm. So when you sign in to Power Apps, you sign in with your work or school email.
Yep.
And then that, you know, that puts you in an organization where you have, you know, some IT guy who's going to manage that.
Right.
For you.
And so kind of related to that, is the security managed that same way? So when you log in, you're using, you know, for, you know, here we use our Microsoft credentials, but you'd use your, you know, Active Directory credentials, presumably.
Yep.
And then that, you know, that gets passed through whatever APIs you may be using, so that in the case of the SharePoint one, if you sent me that Power App, I wouldn't be able to use it because I don't have access to that SharePoint list?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you don't have access to the SharePoint list, then when you get the app, it'll tell you, you know, hey, you don't have access to that,
right,
to that data source. But I could, if I wanted, I could go to the SharePoint list, grant you access, and then you could use the
right
application.
And I'm assuming that the same sort of thing works as far as some of these APIs go. Like, let's say there's different capabilities within the application. You have to make sure that your account has permission to consume those capabilities.
That's exactly right.
Great.
Yeah, we don't want to kind of introduce as much as possible, at least, new concepts of authorization. So mm-hmm. we want the kind of the authorization and authentication to remain in, you know, whatever system it is today.
Definitely.
So that way you can go, you know, even for like Dropbox, if you use Dropbox, you go to Dropbox.com and there you can manage who has access to your Dropbox files.
Mm-hmm.
So if I build an application that uses Dropbox and I share it with you, I should grant you access on Dropbox to access
that. Right. So that brings up the question of, is this specifically working with Active Directory and Azure Active Directory, or is there are there authentication models? Can you use other authentication means?
So to sign into Power Apps, so to sign into the website or the application, you have to use Active Directory.
Okay.
So that means, you know, your organization will set it up. Or we also have a way where if your organization doesn't use any Active Directory today, we'll actually kind of automatically create an Active Directory for you.
Okay.
That you can sign in with that as well.
Okay.
And then the IT guys can discover that and take it over if they,
right,
if they want.
So that's an Azure AD.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's an Azure AD feature, and that applies not just to Power Apps, but Power BI also works that way,
right,
as well. Actually, where if you want to use Power BI and your organization doesn't have AD, you just come in, sign up, and then an AD tenant gets created. And then later, your IT guys can come take it over if they want, or technically they don't have to.
All right. One more question before you go on,
sure,
hopefully. Can you be signed into Power Apps with multiple like directories? Like, let's say I work with two different organizations and they both have their own apps and Power Apps. Is it right now kind of an experience where you need to log out of one and log into the other?
Yeah, so you'd have to kind of come up here and go log out,
right,
and then log in with another one.
Okay, which I imagine probably doesn't actually affect that many people in reality, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I was actually just looking at the stats of this a couple days ago. Most people do have one directory.
Right.
But, you know, some people have multiple, but, yeah.
Sure. Okay.
So what I'm going to do next is actually... So I... That same list, I actually have created and, you know, kind of made some modifications to that application beforehand, so I'm not going to do them all right now. But I don't need to save that thing we just did. So I made a bunch of changes, and over the course of, you know, a couple hours, I added a whole bunch of functionality, which I'm going to show off in a moment. So, you know, some of the different things that you can add, you can continue adding screens, for example, if you want to have, you know, a different view with different types of things on it. You can add more buttons if you want to, you know, in that SharePoint list, if I want a particular action, I can add a button on. If I want to add, you know, special validation rules, so that way make sure that, you know, that date field, if you make sure it's always in the future,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can add that. So you can add a whole bunch of different capabilities. And really, when you do that, it's a lot of just dragging and dropping. And we do have, at the top, there's a formula bar,
mm-hmm.
where you use just basically Excel-like formulas to be able to, you know, define exactly what's happening.
So what I'm hearing from you is that I don't have to be a hardcore developer to make one of these applications. I could be a business analyst,
yep,
or someone that's just very familiar with the business process, and I can come in here and build this out and not worry about opening Visual Studio and how I code in C# and all those sort of things.
That is exactly right.
Fantastic.
That's one of the key things that we believe with Power Apps is that, you know, anybody really who has, you know, PowerPoint or Excel skills can get started and use it. And, you know, that's why we make it, you know, kind of look like Office. Like, this looks, you know, it has the ribbon just like Office.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of themed. Our icon looks like it's a little Office icon because we really believe that making it feel like an Office product will make people comfortable with using it, just like an Office product.
And then developers, they would be, the hardcore developers would be more involved in the on the back end of the API and the logic.
Yeah.
And then the business users would create the the visual part of the app? Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So for developers, you may want to expose some sort of backend system, or if you want to, you actually want to write a bunch of code for Logic, you can expose that as an API, and then you just add it here in the Azure portal. So these are all of these were created by developers. Right. So these were created by developers who created the code for backing that API, and then they expose it, and then when you expose it to the Power App, you just call it using very simple functions.
Right.
So it works really well. So this is that the app that I modified. And you can see you can really heavily customize this. So for example, I created it so that way it has kind of this label and value view. So it's a little different styling. I made this text gray. Also, I added an approval screen down here. So I took one of the detail views and kind of copied it, and then added an approve and decline buttons at the top. So that way I can, take an item in the SharePoint list and say, hey, I approve this or I reject it. And then, And then another thing that I did is, if I scroll all the way down, I added those validation rules that I was talking about. So if I come in here and I click run, we can play with this a little bit. And if on this screen, if I try to make this the start time be in the past, so if I say the 10th, then it says the start time is in the past. So I just added a little label there, and all this does is it just compares the date value of this against today. And if the date value is before today, then it'll add this little red label, and then I can do the same thing like if I put this before the start time. Whoops. Then it says the end time is before the start time.
So where does the validation go?
Yeah. So here I'll leave this this preview view, and then when you click on any element, you see the formula bar. This is up here. So for example, displaying the that title there because I clicked the wrong thing. But if I click here, you can see this is the value. And then so here, for all of the controls, you have a bunch of different properties. So one property says whether or not this is visible or invisible, just like there's that property for determining what the text is. So if I come over here, I can actually scroll down and see visible. And it looks a little wonky. But basically, what I'm doing here is I'm just comparing the date time value of this text box against the date time value of this text box. Mm-hmm. And then if it's less than zero, so the one is before the other, then it's visible. Mm. So that's really all I had to do to add this validation rule.
Yeah, and that's cool. For an Excel user, that's very easy to understand, I think.
Yeah. That's definitely what we're working on.
Great.
And another thing I did here, for example, is I added a dropdown. So you can use, I was mentioning earlier, all those different types of controls, like dropdowns or text boxes or really anything that you want.
And the content for that dropdown is coming from the service?
So in this case, I just
typed it in.
But yeah, you could call a function on a service and get a bunch of items from a dropdown as well.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So so this is all of that customization I was able to do using just simple skills here. One of the other things I wanted to show is what we're calling logic flows. And what a logic flow is it's logic that runs in the cloud when something happens in an application or when something just happens in the SharePoint list. So for this type of scenario, what I have is, this is, requesting cars. It's the car requester app. So what I want to be able to do is, say, get an email when somebody requests a car. Mm-hmm. So I can do that, and if I come to powerapps.com, I can click on Make a Logic Flow. And we have a whole bunch of pre-built templates for logic flows, just like we have templates for the Power Apps. Mm-hmm. But these are a little different in that instead of pre-built applications, these have kind of pre-built flows. And they connect together different services. So for example, a very popular one is, when a new tweet appears for some keyword, just send me an email. Or if I have a new calendar meeting, create an event in Salesforce to match that. So there's a whole bunch of templates we have, but for the purposes of the demo, I'll actually create one from blank and show you how you make this logic. So when you make the logic, there's kind of two important concepts. There's a trigger, which is what starts it, and then there is, you know, any number of actions that can be taken mm-hmm. that actually go off and you know, talk to whatever different services you want. So the trigger, in this case, I'll just do, you know, when an item is added to that SharePoint list.
Right.
Because here, if I click the plus button, that's going to go add an item in that list. So what I can do is I can actually just search for SharePoint. And it'll go off and search here. So you can see here, there's a few different triggers we have for SharePoint. So I can just do when a new item is created. And what this asked me for is the same things that that Power App asked me for earlier. Remember, it mm-hmm. asked for that SharePoint site URL.
Yep.
One of the other features we have is we'll actually look at your Office recents and see, you know, what SharePoint sites have you used. So I can just, and rather than having to copy paste that whole thing, I can just click on that Power App's list.
Excellent.
And then I can do the same thing for the SharePoint list itself. So I can just click on car list. So there you go. So now I have a trigger. So this is gonna run every time that an item is added. But it's not going to do anything yet. So what I'll do is I'll add an action. And just for simplicity's sake, we can send an email.
So in this case, we have this logical flow that's kind of monitoring SharePoint for us?
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So it'll it can monitor kind of any data source that you want. In fact, any of the, you know, if I kind of zoom out for a little bit, all of these APIs are the same APIs that you have here. So just as you can use APIs inside of your Power App, you can use those exact same APIs inside of your logic flows.
Great.
So I can come back here, and let's send an email. And when I send an email, it's asking me for all the normal things for email. But what's really powerful is I can pass content from step to step. Mm. So for example, when I create a new item in the SharePoint list, it has a whole bunch of fields. These are the same fields, by the way, that I'm seeing here, all of these fields. Because we can look at the data source and know what it has in it. So I can say, for example, you know, new request from, and then I can drop in the request or email address. So now it'll tell me, you know, hey, this person is, you know, requesting for a car. And then I can even, you know, add a whole bunch of things in. So I can say, you know, starting at, and then I can do requested start time and ending at, you know, the car type is, et cetera, et cetera.
Very cool.
So basically, these tokens, these represent placeholders that will be filled in when the logic flow actually goes and runs. And then, of course, I need to type, you know, email address in, and then I can click done by just giving it a name. So if I try to do it now, you know, my logic flow, it's actually going to yell at me because I haven't filled it in yet. So we do check to make sure that you know, you're filling everything in. And if I done, that'll go off and that'll save. And then whenever I go to the SharePoint list, it'll send me an email notification.
Very cool.
And is the engine behind the logic flows the same as the logic apps?
Exactly. So it's the exact same engine. Between here and what you see inside the Azure portal for logic apps.
Cool.
So you can see actually there are logic apps created whenever you create a logic flow.
Right.
Now the difference is that logic flows, we try to keep them a bit simpler, so that way really anybody can create these. We don't want to make it too complicated. You know, logic apps is very powerful. You can do things like looping and you know, advanced switch statements and all of those, you know, different types of things. We've really tried to keep logic flows a bit easier to use. But there is one piece of thing, one piece of logic that we did add, which is you can add conditionals. So I can come in, for example, and check, you know, some value, and then only do logic if that value is true.
Right.
So if I want to say, you know, if, you know, say my manager is requesting it, then I'll mark my email as high importance.
Mm.
So you can do things like that.
Could you also do the sort of thing where you could say, if I'm the requester, don't send me an email?
You could. So let's try something like that, actually. So I'll just clear out this step for the moment, and say if the requester email is equal to me. Actually, what I'd want to, sorry, Mike, doesn't matter, is not equal to.
Right.
So you can basically, you have kind of whatever conditions you want here. And then I can just go ahead and add the action on this side.
The email or, yep.
And send email. And then in this case, I would leave this side blank.
Just empty.
Just do nothing, basically.
Great.
But you could do things like, you know, if I want to send myself a special email.
Right. Now, are these logic flows, are they acting in such a way that if you actually went to the SharePoint form itself in the browser, would it still send you an email?
Yep.
Okay, so
exactly.
It's not like it's intercepting it because it's a power app. It's actually affecting the SharePoint form.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'd say there are kind of two different ways to do it. So the way we did it here where the trigger is for the SharePoint list, it will run no matter who modifies that SharePoint list. So if I use this power app I created, it'll go and it will actually run, or if I go to the SharePoint list. There is another way that you can do logic flows, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for that scenario, but if you want, for example, here I have a button that does an approval. Mm-hmm. And if I specifically have logic that I want to run when I click the button, then you can do that as well. And to do that, you can do something like I'll just use this template, which is, when you use a template, you have to choose which accounts to use. Mm-hmm. I've already kind of signed into everything beforehand, so
Right. That's
why you haven't seen me sign into anything. But you actually can use multiple accounts for the data sources. Mm. So to kind of sign in at powerapps.com or in the client, you do have one sign in. But you can connect to multiple Dropboxes or multiple SharePoint sites or whatever, because your data is going to live in multiple places
Sure. Oftentimes.
So that is one point. But here, for example, this will actually run this logic when a control is selected in a Power App. So this one will specifically be tied to the behavior of the Power App.
So this is a way even for those same business users to create functionality that lives on the server side that they can easily craft. Without having to have a developer go create a custom API to handle all this sort of stuff.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is to kind of give a toolbox that's easy enough for those business users to use without having to go and pester their friend who knows how to code
Sure. All
the time. I'm sure you guys know about that.
Is there instrumentation or telemetry that people can see about the apps once they're out and deployed?
Not yet today, but that is something that we're working on.
Okay.
For things like logic flows, very soon you'll be able to look at how many times they've run and exactly what they've done. For the Power Apps APIs, IT today can actually click on these and see.
From the portal?
From the Azure portal. What's going on, but from the kind of the business user perspective, they can't do that type of thing quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something we've been working on.
Great. So let's say I'm a business user. I go in, I get the Power Apps application, I create an application, and then I'm ready to share it. So let's say I share it out to you.
Mm-hmm.
You would in turn go to whichever app store for your device and install the Power Apps. Is there a way for, let's say you're just one of my salespeople, for example, it's a sales app. I don't want you to be creating apps to share with other people. I just want you to be a consumer. Is there a concept there for that I'm just an app consumer?
So when you share an app, you can choose what permissions to share the app with.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go here, if I want to share this app with you, I can let you consume the app. So I can say can view,
mm-hmm.
or I can say can edit. So you can both, make changes to the app if you wanted to or not.
Right.
So we do have that on the sharing level. But really, whenever anybody downloads, Power Apps, we want them to be able to create apps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't want to. They don't have to. But there really isn't a way to, block someone from creating apps.
Because
really we think that, it's kind of like PowerPoint or Excel. Anybody can create a spreadsheet or PowerPoint. We think, ideally, anybody could create a Power App.
Okay, that makes sense. And now, what is the experience like? Let's say we go back there and I'm ready to share my app with you. What is that experience like? Do you get an email that says, hey, Chris has shared this app with you. Here's how you can open it if you already have it, or here's how you install this app?
Yep, that's exactly right. So you get... there's kind of two methods of communication. Whenever I share, you get an email. Plus, if you already have you know, Power Apps installed on your phone or on your PC, you'll get a push notification as well, mm-hmm. saying, you know, hey, there's a new app for you to check out.
Great.
So yeah, so then you know, these are all the different types of apps that are in my organization. And likewise, you can use Logic Flows. You can't really share Logic Flows today because mm-hmm. They're kind of tied to the application that's using them.
Right.
So Logic Flows and the apps do behave a little differently from a sharing perspective.
So when you share the app, then Logic Flow is part of that anyway.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I build an app that uses this Logic Flow here, and I share it with you, it's still going to use this logic and kind of run in the cloud. You know, you don't have to see it in your list of logic flows or anything like that.
And does that mean that you could then go back and modify that logic flow without having to reshare the app with
me? Yeah, that's exactly right. Because it's from a developer point of view, it's just kind of like an API out there. Mm. So as long as you don't you know, break the contract
right.
of the between the logic flow and the app, you can continue to kind of make improvements and modifications.
Great, very cool.
If you do break the contract, though, then you'll be in trouble. So you don't want to do that. So that pretty much covers kind of at a high level all the different parts of Power Apps. So
we already saw there's powerapps.microsoft.com. That's where you can go and, you know, put in your email address to sign up.
Yep.
Is there anywhere else we should point people to if they want to read more or they've got questions?
So if you come to powerapps.com, we actually have a bunch of different resources here. So Microsoft isn't always good about this, but this time, you know, maybe we're a little better. We have a bunch of documentation and a help center. So you can actually come in, and even if you can't, you know, if we don't let you in quite yet, you can actually come in and you can look at all the tutorials. And we do have, you know, videos that you can come and you can watch and see exactly what happens. So these are all the help topics that we have. So if you just want to kind of learn about what it can do, I definitely recommend coming here and checking this out. We do have a blog, and we're on Twitter, and we have a help center. So there's even a support form you can go to.
Oh, great.
I think we even have user voice. So if you have just want to kind of see what types of features people are asking for and that type of thing, you can come here and check it out. So,
great. And we'll make sure the links to all that stuff are down underneath in the show notes.
Yep.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, thanks for coming on and showing us this. You know, having not looked at it, this is really impressive, and it's cool to see how much a person that's not deep in the weeds of the code can really do with Power Apps.
Yep.
Yeah. So now, if I'm not mistaken, you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you?
Yeah, so it's at ISCSUS.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you again for joining us again. Everybody out there, thank you for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show. And as this is the last show of the year, I just want to wish everybody a happy new year, and we look forward to seeing you in 2016.
Wow.
See ya. Yeah.
Bye, everyone.